So next week is Father's Day, and how cool was it to see all these fathers up here leading us? I thought that was awesome. All men, right? Amen. And then we got like a Deborah about to preach and lead men into battle. Amen. Amen. Well, if you just came in, which I know some of y'all did because I didn't see you earlier, thank you for joining us at First Open Bible. And I'm so glad that you're here today to worship with us. I'm very excited this morning. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor. And today's not my day to preach. I will be preaching again next week. I'm excited. Men, come next week. God has a great word for you. I already feel it. And a lot of times, we wonder, like, where's our place in the kingdom? Let me tell you, you're about to find out where your place is in the kingdom and where you stand and what you should do and the power that is inside of you and the calling that you have to lead. So come next week. We would love that. But this morning, it's my pleasure to be able to introduce to you my wife, my helpmate, my bride. She's a phenomenal teacher of God's word. She has great revelation of God's word. She has many gifts to bring to the kingdom of God, and I'm so excited. She's on staff here at First Open Bible. Creative and spiritual development director is her place. What does that mean? Is like most of the time you see anything that's pretty, she's done it. Anything online, she's created it probably. Anything else, she helps develop on Wednesday nights. She oversees the discipleship of that. She's behind the scenes doing a lot more than anyone recognizes or knows, but she loves what she does, and she is on fire for God. And we ministered together at a conference, a Holy Spirit conference, not too long ago, and I said, baby, you got to preach this word, right? You got to preach again, you got to preach that fire, you know, and she, God's given her new revelation, but she's going to preach this word, and I'm super excited because it's a fresh word from God. It's a word for the church today, and I'm very, very excited. So will you please welcome Sarah Holzapfel.
Dad, sweet. Love you. Love you so much. Good morning. Anybody feeling the Holy Ghost this morning? I am so excited to give this word. It's such an honor to preach to our family, your family to us. And I thank you, Pastor Harris, for challenging me to do this. This is not easy for any of you that have ever had to preach in front of a bunch of people. But God is so faithful. Amen. And I'm honored today to preach. And the Lord is showing me so much in this season. Do you know this is an amazing season to be alive? We've gone through quite a hard season. Did y'all know this? Have y'all had a hard season? It's been a long, hard season. But God has a fresh word for the church. And I know some of you have maybe come to the church before just longing for a word. Anybody ever done that? You come and you just desperately need a word from God. But do you know that you have this thing called the Word of God? And every time you open this, there is a prophetic word that God wants to give to you. And I believe from the moment I start to give this sermon to the time we end and we have an altar call, I believe the Lord is going to prophetically speak a word to each and every one of you. I believe that today. Amen. Who came hungry today? Let's try again. Who came hungry today? I came hungry today. And you know, when we come hungry, there's this thing called surrender. We come hungry to surrender before the King of Kings. And God has something for each of us. And I say this on Wednesday night, and I really mean this. This word I have today is not an easy one to give to the church because it's about religious mindsets. If you've sat in church longer than 6 months, there is a chance that you possibly have some things stuck. You know that? Amen, is this okay? I've been stuck before, and I have said this to the church on Wednesday nights, but now you get to hear it. The world is ready for the church. It's the church that's not ready for the world. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to get the church ready for the season we're about ready to step into. So don't put your heels, don't dig your heels in and not listen to the Holy Ghost. Surrender to the Holy Ghost this morning because God wants to do something. And there are areas in our life, even as Christians, maybe you've sat in a church building your whole life. I'm one of them. And I found really quickly when I was a young adult that I had places that I needed desperate freedom in my life. Religious mindsets that did not look like Jesus. And if the world is going to encounter a real Jesus, they need to encounter a real authentic church. Amen? Because the world can tell when we're not authentic. They just can. And so today, I believe the Holy Ghost is going to challenge things in this room and in our hearts. I prayed this morning that the Lord would do heart surgery in the house, that he would remove blockages. A lot of times the Holy Spirit gives me visions, and I saw a cloud come into the room about halfway through worship, and I saw that it began to rain in the room. What's cool about that is that it began to rain on hard soil. It was hard soil that had to kind of be worked at, tilled up. And as the water began to pour in the room, that soil started to get softer and softer. And we need that soil to be soft because that's where the growth takes place. That's where the seed begins to bloom and blossom. And that's what the church needs today. They need to get rid of that cracked, hard soil, and they need to let the Holy Ghost come in and get into the deep parts that you just haven't surrendered. Pastor Harris said it. We heard it this morning. Many times there's just areas that we're not great at surrendering. Amen. And today we're going to learn about this. One thing that's easy to sometimes see on people's addiction, bondage, y'all know what I mean? You can see bondage on people. But sometimes something that's not very easy to notice is religious spirit, bondage. And religious spirit can be dangerous because it gets us into a place of pride where the Holy Ghost can't work. And so today we want to surrender those things. We are in our series, right? Pentecost series, Holy Spirit Come. And I believe I have a word about the book of Acts like you have never heard it before. A lot of times in the church, we like to focus on the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, which we love that. Everybody liked the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But do you know there's a lot more going on in the book of Acts than just the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? A lot more. The church was going through some things. And do you know, parallel to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there can be mess in your life? Life can be not pretty when the Holy Ghost decides to deal with you and come on you. And so today, we're going to read a lot of this stuff. But I want to first start in the book of Luke. So if you have your word, I'm going to have you open to Luke chapter 1, verse 18. Because I believe I have a prophetic word for the church in the season we're about ready to step into. This word is very, very important. Because if you miss this, you're going to miss the rest of the sermon today. We're going to be talking about a man named Zechariah for a moment. Because I'm tilling up the ground in the room. The Holy Ghost told me to till up the ground of your heart. Today, I'm going to come for unbelief, the Holy Ghost says, and I'm going to come for faith. So there's two things happening in the church today. There's the heart of unbelief and there's the heart of faith happening in the church today. Maybe you walked in with how is God going to do this in my life? How is God going to free me of this addiction? How is God going to move in my marriage? How is God going to free me of depression? How is God going to free me of anxiety? And a lot of times when we face hard things in our life, we get into the spirit of unbelief. We just start to doubt God. And this is the season the church has been in, is a season of unbelief and doubt. And God is rallying the church to get into the spirit of faith. Amen. So this is a prophetic word before we go to the book of Acts that I believe is going to challenge us all, because we can all find ourselves in the book of Acts. Amen. You're going to find yourself in many times today as I speak. But I'm talking about a man named Zechariah. Does anybody know who Zechariah was? The father of John the Baptist. That's right. We all know John the Baptist, right? We know he's the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And it's pretty amazing. In Luke, an angel comes to Zechariah, but an angel also comes to another young woman by the name of Mary. And Mary is the mother of Jesus. I want to read these two accounts because I believe the Lord is dealing with unbelief in the church today and faith. We're going to read Luke chapter 1, verse 18, and I'm going to let you know what's happening prior to the scripture. An angel comes to Zechariah, and he says to a very old man, "You're going to have a baby." And Zechariah's response is not good. We're going to read about it in just a moment. Luke chapter 1, verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also along in her years. We're going to fast forward for a moment. Same chapter, same angel, Luke chapter 1, verse 34 will be behind me. Mary is also told she's going to have a baby, and he is going to be the Messiah. Pretty cool, right? Angel visiting these two parents. Mary asked the angel when she heard these things, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. We see two responses here. Most of you are probably saying, well, they just both asked how. Let me tell you, Zechariah began to have a heart of unbelief, but Mary had the how of faith. This is so cool as we read about this. Zechariah is pretty much saying, there's no way. I'm old, that cannot happen. And we know, because John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ, that Zechariah was desperately needed in this time, right? But he had a response in unbelief. How many of us in the hard season, sometimes our response is what? Unbelief. Unbelief. And when the angel tells Mary, it's not like she's saying, am I going to have a child, or is this going to happen? She just says this, I don't understand how, because I just don't understand how. But her response to the angel is this: this will be. She does something in her heart that says, I trust God. And the Lord is asking the church today for a heart, a posture of trust to him. Luke 1:35, the angel replied when Mary responded, the angel said this: the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born holy, and he will be called the Son of God. How? Everyone in the room say, the Holy Ghost. The season we're stepping in, we need the Holy Ghost. We need an active church. Let me tell you what happens when you get in a heart of unbelief. We're gonna see what the angel says to Zechariah, because his heart is in a posture of unbelief. Luke chapter 1, verse 20. The angel said this: but now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled in its proper time. What a message. What a message to the church right now. You will be stricken with dumbness and unable to speak in one of the most important times of history because you had a heart of unbelief. Zechariah could not speak in a time of history where his voice was needed. And the church has been there, but I believe God is turning it around. God is giving the church her voice back, amen? And I believe it's gonna be a voice of faith, okay? Because this is the precursor to the Messiah returning. And our voice is important in this time, amen? And so if you have that area in your life that you're just saying, I have some unbelief there, lay it before the Lord. Let him work on that today. Amen. We need a heart like Mary in this season, not a heart like Zechariah. Amen. So we're going to talk about this Holy Ghost today and what was happening in the book of Acts. Now, I appreciate practical teaching. I love the Word of God. I love to see the Word of God come alive to people as they read it, just like I did right now. Did you guys feel that revelation? Just boop, pops in your heart, and you hear the Holy Ghost start to speak. And that's going to happen today, I believe, over and over and over and over and over, because the Holy Ghost, he's actively moving throughout this room, just tapping on people's shoulders. Hey, that's you. Hey, you got to surrender that today. And no matter how you do this thing called relationship with Jesus, you cannot put a formula to this. Did you know that? Because there's this unknown factor called the Holy Ghost. And he loves to mess up our plans. Just does. He's like, you think that you control this thing and you can't. You have to just surrender to the Holy Ghost. And so those of you that came in with that, how is my family going to be saved in this time? Anybody worried about their children in this season, right? There's concern there, right? And we think, you know, how are we going to survive? How are we going to have enough money? Gas prices are insane, right? And we have all these hows, right? And the Holy Ghost is going to help the church navigate the season that we are in. But we have to have ears to hear, and we have to surrender to this season. Amen. The Bible says the truth is it's not by might or by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. We can do all the right things, but if we're not submitted to the Holy Ghost, nothing's going to happen. It can be head knowledge and we can have great teaching, but unless the Holy Spirit's moving in and through these pews and these aisles, we're doing it in vain. It's all about Jesus, the authentic touch of Jesus in the room. We're not after filling coliseums in this room, believe it or not. We're after meeting with Jesus. We shouldn't want to fill a large stadium if we can't even meet with Jesus in our bedroom. What are you desperate for this morning? I'm desperate for Jesus. I'm desperate for a touch. My grandma made this bomb potato salad growing up. Anybody have like a recipe that's just awesome that was passed down? Or maybe you are that one that makes that recipe, right? And everybody knows when you have a good recipe, you don't touch that recipe. It's original, it's good. Some of you might try to put like Himalayan salt in it to make it healthier, but it is just nasty because you should have just left it alone, right? And it's like, you know, I remember watching my grandma at the kitchen sink and she would never, I'm like, just write it down, just write it. And she's not writing anything down. She's just making it. And I knew someday she'd be gone. And I try really hard to make this potato salad, but it's never as good as grandma's, right? Anybody ever have a recipe like that? It's that original recipe. And let me tell you, the church is trying to mess with the original recipe today. Yes. And the enemy is just having a heyday in the church, and the Lord is not happy with it. They're trying to mess with the original recipe for revival. They're trying to mess with the original recipe of salvation. And the Lord says, you leave the original recipe, it is good as is, and it works. The book of Acts, the way that they did it, it works because it was the original recipe. Amen? It's like the church. You've probably heard this before. If you own a piano, you, and I've said this before, you need to continuously do what to a piano? Tune it. Because if you sit down to play and you don't tune a piano, what happens? Doesn't sound good. And the church has not continuously tuned itself to the Word of God. So it naturally has begun to drift from the original recipe. And then we wonder what happens in the church today. God is saying, go back. Go back to the Word of God. You need to tune your life to the Word of God. You wonder why things aren't working out because you haven't been surrendered to the original recipe. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. How can you be a powerful Christian? How can you be a powerful church? We have to go back and read about it in the book of Acts, and we are going to do that today. I am going to give you like a drinking from a fire hose, so buckle up, right? We are going to go through the book of Acts like you have never gone through it. I'm going to be like, chapter 1, this was happening. Chapter 3, this was happening. And you're going to feel the Holy Ghost going, I need to surrender that. I need to surrender that. I need to surrender that. Because God is wanting to align, to tune his church so that they can pour out his Spirit to those who desperately need it because the time is short. The book of Acts, we see the church was full of prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, you're going to struggle in this season because you won't be able to discern what is correct and what is not. It will be so full of your emotions, that's just where we get so messed up. The book of Acts was full of holiness, not happiness, and I'm going to talk about some of that. You know, there's times I've sat in church in my life and I haven't been very happy. Even as your pastor's wife, I don't always agree with things. Believe that or not? He believes it. Because I have opinions. I have spiritual, weird, religious mindsets because I grew up in the church, and sometimes things don't sit well with me, and I have to pray about those things. The Holy Ghost is active. It's new fire for today. It's new life for today. And we don't get away from this original recipe, but we allow the Holy Ghost to move freely through the room. I'm shaking, not because I'm scared, but because it's hard to stand right now. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to break off bondage in the room today. I have felt it for a week. And I'm excited for this. Just surrender to it. okay? Just surrender to what God's about ready to do. The Acts church was full of power. It was full of consecration. What does that mean, set apart? The Holy Ghost, I heard this, and the Holy Ghost said it in my spirit very loud. There are antelope in Africa that actually blend in with their surroundings, right, into the brush, because they need to protect themselves from the predators. So they blend in, okay? And the Lord is so cool, right? Because he made these antelopes with little black spots on the back of their ears. Do you know what those spots are for? So the next generation knows where to go so they don't get eaten by the predators. Because they blend in. So their children know, I see mom and dad's spots on their back of their ears, so they don't go where they're not supposed to go. The problem with the church today is that we blend in with the world. We're unrecognizable. That's why the next generation doesn't know where to go. Because we don't look any different. That's our fault. They should be able to recognize, that's a Jesus follower. I know where to go because that's authentic. That's where I go. I don't go there because that's where I go. Mom and dad, you look just like the world. I'm sorry. We got to be real today. You got to be separated, consecrated, so your children know where to go, where to follow. This generation, this next generation coming behind us, they're desperate for an authentic touch from Jesus. They want it so badly. I'm just listening to the Holy Ghost for a moment. In Acts chapter 2, it's pretty amazing. We get really excited because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happens in the upper room, and flames of fire come, and the people outside, not the people in the church, but the people outside start getting weirded out by it. The world is going to be weirded out by the church. Just get used to it. Doesn't make sense to them. It's not going to make sense to them. They thought they were drunk. And so it's phenomenal to read the book of Acts because God just starts pulling all this revelation because it's so cool to read it. And we see that the people are like talking and freaked out kind of, and are they drunk? And we see that Brother Peter goes to address them. This is an awesome bunch of scriptures if you get a chance to read it. First time, presiding bishop, general superintendent, everybody say Brother Peter. He goes to address the people outside. Y'all listening? This is cool, right? They're confused. And it's like a first-time assembly, and the people are saying this. What should we do? Because Peter starts to speak to them, and the word literally says, we're going to read it in a moment, that it pierced their hearts when he spoke. Not the church people, the people outside. And they say to him, what should we do? When the world asks the church, what should we do? The church should have the answer. That's right. The problem is we don't always. We're just as confused as the world because we haven't surrendered. Let's read this. It's powerful. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Listen, church. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Peter gives a hint to the church. If you're taking notes, you may want to write this down. You're going to see a lot of words pop up behind me because I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to start pricking your heart. Like I said, when you see a word that the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, you got to deal with that, just write it down or just kind of log it in your heart. But this is what Peter says. He says, you shall repent, you shall turn, and you shall be baptized. The church has forgot how to repent. And if we get that part right, which a lot of us do, we forget the next part. We don't turn. We repent, oh Lord, forgive me, but we don't turn from it. And then he says what? And then you shall be baptized. Not just one of you, but what did he say? Every one of you. All. Everybody say all. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, receive the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, do what Brother Peter said. Repent, turn, and be baptized. Today, God is asking the church to repent. It's a daily thing. Amen? What Jesus asks you to do on Monday might not be what he wants you to do on Friday. It's a daily thing where you have a relationship with Jesus, surrendered to his voice. I was raised in the church. I grew up in the church. My family was in ministry. I knew how to do church. I don't know that I could get up and preach. This is really kind of intimidating, really. Without the Holy Ghost, this is an impossibility. But when you feel the good help of the Holy Ghost, you get out of the way and you surrender to the Holy Spirit. Amen? I was raised in church, and I understood the concepts of church. Have you ever been there? It's like something you like do. You go to church, check, did it. But I was just kind of going through the motions, not really having a lot of encounters with Jesus. And many of you know, I'll ask my mom, and that really solidified my faith in God, but I still was kind of in an area where I really wasn't feeling a whole lot of the presence of God. I'm just being really real with you all today. Is that okay? I was going, I was being faithful to the church, but I was not free. We served in ministry, and I still felt that way. I felt bondage in areas. I couldn't feel the Holy Spirit. There was such a blockage. And then my husband and I got very wounded by people in ministry. I love the church, but the church hurt us. Not the building, people. The church is full of people, and people hurt people. We're family. How many times have you been hurt by family? Come on, raise your hand. And we expect the church to be perfect? It's full of more people. We're like 300 plus people. You may get hurt in the church. Just part of being part of a body. But I remember that my husband in particular was very wounded. And so we had left the Open Bible Church, and we began to search for churches. And I remember feeling like kind of an orphan. When you belong to a church, they're your family. And I felt like, where do I belong? And my husband was so wounded, he wouldn't step into the church. So I began to go by myself. So women who are coming, maybe without a spouse, I've been there. Maybe you're not married at this time. Let me tell you, I sat there and I'm like, Holy Spirit, I don't know what you're doing, but we need your touch. We found ourselves in a non-denominational church, and our lives were turned upside down. They had no idea who we were. See, when I grew up in a denomination, they knew who I was. But these people didn't know who I was. They didn't know who I was. My husband got a word. It radically changed his life. He started coming to church. But I remember it wasn't long after, and I tell the story. I tell it on Wednesday night, and I believe there's a lot of you in the room that are going to feel this as I tell it, because maybe you've had an experience like it. But I tell it because it ignites things inside of people's hearts when I share it. I was in a room of about 400 people, and I was sitting towards the back. And the pastor just got up to preach. He wasn't even preaching on repentance. He stood up to preach, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, get up and run to the altar. I am telling you, I am not kidding about this. I fought it with everything in me. I was pouring sweat in that back room. That back, whatever that's called, pew. And he just kept just dealing with my heart. And I'm like, don't you know it is not time for the altar call, Holy Ghost? That is at the end of the service. He is just preaching. He is not even preaching on repentance. I am not getting up. People are going to look at me. They're going to wonder, what is wrong with her? She went to the altar. And all of the sudden, and I tell it like this because it truly was, it's like I was having an out-of-body experience. I'm watching my body walk down the middle of the aisle, and I'm like looking at it going, stop! Everybody's looking at you! And I didn't care. Because all I wanted was to get to the feet of Jesus. If I can't have Jesus, I don't want anything. I laid on the floor. He probably had to step over me. I don't know. But when I got up, there were all kinds of people laying at the altar. The Holy Ghost had told others to do it. Something died in me that day that didn't look like Jesus. It was pride. It was religious mindset, like I have to be this or I can't, you know, be used by God or whatever. I didn't care anymore. If I didn't have an encounter with Jesus, it didn't matter. If you feel the Holy Ghost tell you to go to the altar, get up and run to the altar. If the church doesn't deal with the things inside of us, they won't be ready for the move of the Spirit that's beginning to happen. You can sit in your seat and pretend like you have it all together, but you're going to miss out on something amazing. I'm going to go very quickly because I'm running out of time. Is this okay? Are y'all bored out of your mind? Okay, we're going to let the Holy Ghost do it. Woo! Holy Ghost train. All right. Words are going to come up behind me, and I'm just asking the Holy Spirit, let's just raise our hands right now, okay? Just raise your hands out of surrender. Here we go. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we just surrender right now. Whatever doesn't look like you, we surrender that right now in this room, God. I pray for your anointing to be so strong in this room that bondage can't stay. We pray, Lord, right now that you'd break off every lie of the enemy in this room, God. I thank you, Lord, that you came to do business today with your people, God. And I thank you for the freedom that will be felt as we leave the room. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 1, the church was having a problem with patience. Surprise? Anybody patient in the room or not patient in the room? Jesus told them something before he left. He said, you wait on the promise of the Father and don't you do anything outside the Holy Ghost. He still tells us that today, and some of us just, we get tired of waiting on Jesus. Don't you know? You're running out of time. I have this deal, and I need you to move, and he's saying, just be patient. So we rush the Holy Ghost, and we know that Judas had betrayed Jesus, and he died, so these leaders had to appoint another leader. But they didn't know how to do it, because how did Jesus get people to follow him? You, follow me. So the leaders didn't know how to do this. So they do this really weird thing, this really weird election process. You can read about it. Pretty much it's like, eeny, meeny, miny, Matthias, you follow. And we never hear about Brother Matthias again in the Bible. Chances are maybe the church was out of order, but they're trying to make decisions without the leading of the Holy Ghost. We cannot do this in this time. You have to be surrendered and submitted to know where the Holy Ghost is going. Because you make a mess of your life when you aren't patient. Surrender, surrender. Acts 3, we see a lack of resources. You'll see it behind me. Many of us are here right now because of gas prices and stuff. I love the story in Acts 3 where Peter and John are going to the house of miracles, going to church. And they find a beggar on the outside of the church. Now, we all know this story probably, but I'm going to say it differently than you've ever heard it probably. The beggar asks for money. Y'all know this story? He asks for money. He's on outside the house of miracles. Peter says this in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. I don't have any silver or gold for you, But I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. We're in the third chapter of Acts, and the church is broke. There's lack of resources in our life sometimes, and we miss the miracle because we're so focused on the lack of resources. Forget the fact that this man was sitting outside of the house of miracles and no one thought to drag him into the house of miracles. What are you doing? Focused on what is wrong in your life, right? Focus on the lack that's around you, or are you focused on the miracles? What they gave him was the miracle. They couldn't meet the need of the money, but they could meet the need of what was wrong inside. Amen? Surrender, surrender. Acts chapter 4, they're in prison. Anybody in the room ever been in bondage? Oh, come on. All of you better raise both hands. We're having an altar call right now. Bondage, they're in prison. Many of us have been in bondage, and we walk into church and we get this lie going on in our head. You got to clean up before Jesus is going to do anything with you. That's not what was going on in the book of Acts. The Holy Ghost met them right in the prison cell. Amen. And God wants to blow those doors wide open and deliver you from the bondage. He doesn't want you to stay there because he loves you. Amen. Chapter 5 is not a story you hear about in church. Anybody ever heard a story about Ananias and Sapphira? They dropped dead in church because they lied. Can you imagine? Welcome to our church, First Open Bible, where everyone is welcome. We're a family here, but if you lie, you're going to die. No one would want to go to that church, amen? But Ananias and Sapphira, we see, you know, back in the book of Acts, it's so powerful because they were united. Do you know how much gets done when a church is united? The Holy Ghost starts to move. And they were selling their lands, their homes, and they were giving all, everybody say all, to the church so the gospel would go out. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of land. And the couple decided to hold back a little bit, not to give it all. Ananias only laid part, everybody say part at the apostles' feet. But he gave the pretense that he gave it all. He fell down dead. Wife comes in, doesn't know what happened because they drug him out and buried him. And they ask her, did you give all? And she says, yes. Falls down dead. I'm not talking about your money right now, although maybe some of you need that. That Holy Ghost needs to work on that. But let me tell you, when Pastor Harris or anybody else gets up here and they start giving a word and you know the Holy Spirit says surrender all, and you decide to hold back just a little bit, death happens to parts of your life that you don't want it to happen in. That's why the Holy Ghost says surrender it all. God sees the heart. Amen? Acts chapter 6, they're complaining because they have so many blessings. We want the church, you said it was so good. We want the church to grow, but then we start complaining about all the people that are coming in. We just are never happy, right? The generation always complains about the generation behind them. It's always happened. We see it in the Bible, right? And so they're complaining and complaining and complaining. God can't move when we're so focused on all what's wrong instead of what God is doing. If you have a spirit that you just complain a lot, let the Lord deal with that. Amen. Acts chapter 7, their friend Stephen is killed. Death. How many of you have encountered someone close to you dying in this room? I don't know about you all, but y'all have a picture growing up what you think life is going to look like. Life has royally messed up that picture for me. My picture doesn't look anything like I thought it was going to look up. But can I tell you that the moments that I surrender to God, the Lord pulls things out of me that doesn't look like him. Doesn't look like him. He wants us to surrender so that we can experience the Holy Ghost even in moments of death, even in moments of heartache. The Holy Ghost has literally rocked my world in moments like that more than moments where I felt awesome. Because there's nothing left. You're so at the bottom. Acts chapter 8, we see manipulation. Simon the sorcerer sees people get the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, and his response is this: how much is that? We see corruption in the body of Christ, and can I tell you there's a lot of it today? People pushing on people, and got to do this, and got to get this to get the Holy Ghost. That's not Jesus. Jesus just says, come. It's about surrender. Acts chapter 9, we see a judgmental church. And let me tell you, we've all been there. Saul of Tarsus becomes the Apostle Paul, and the church hears about this conversion. And they're like, no way that sinner could get saved. No way, no way, no way. Legalistic church in the book of Acts. We're like that. Have you ever watched somebody go to the altar and you think, oh, they've been there before. I wonder if they're going to change. That's dangerous. Let them come to Jesus. Let them come to Jesus. Acts 10, we see disobedience. I've been disobedient before to the Lord. The Lord pretty much tells Peter to go to the house of Cornelius, and Peter says, I don't preach to those kind of people. That's pretty much what he says. And so we see the church is already segregated and divided. In Acts chapter 11, it reminds me of where we've been with COVID. The church is discouraged, and so they're scattered. They're isolated because they're discouraged. Did you come to church today because you're discouraged? The enemy loves to get you isolated and discouraged because it makes you inactive. If that's you today, you got to give that to Jesus. Acts chapter 20 is one of the most powerful messages in the book of Acts. Teenagers, this is going to really speak to you as leaders also. Old men are having revival. The church is feeling really good up in there. Paul is preaching. Brother Paul is preaching. Paul. And they're singing and they're feeling good and the Holy Ghost is moving. And this young man is sitting in the window. And anybody know what happens? He falls asleep and dies. He falls to his death three stories from the window. They're having revival and a young person falls out of the window and dies. Maybe he was bored. Maybe they'd been in there a long time. I don't know. But it's okay because we were having church in here. Listen, when I read this part, the Holy Ghost said this to me. You read the scriptures and it's powerful because they had to go outside the building to embrace that young man. And when he did, he said something. This is powerful, leader. This is powerful. We can't let this next generation disconnect just because we're having church in here. Yeah. You should get excited about that. Yeah. God did not call the church to be a one-item restaurant. He called us to be a Holy Ghost buffet. If you need it, it's here. 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 We're a Holy Ghost buffet in this church. To reach that young man, it said that Paul went outside the building. Let's read it. Acts chapter 20, verse 10. We're getting close to being done here in a moment. Paul went down, bent over him, took him into his arms, and he said, don't worry, he's alive. The church may need to go outside these buildings to embrace the next generation. Doesn't matter what's happening in here. If we can't get built up and ready to go out there and embrace the people that need to know the love of Jesus, what good is it for? The book of Acts ends in a shipwreck. Aren't you glad you came today to hear about the book of Acts? But let me tell you, if you think your world has to be perfect for the Holy Spirit to move, this is why I'm going through this morning. The book of Acts is full of a lot of things. But the book of Acts is also full of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And this is what's going to happen in this house and in the houses and this nation and in the world. I believe it. Acts chapter 1 came the promise. Acts chapter 2 came the fulfillment of the promise. Acts chapter 3, there was healing. Acts chapter 4, there was evangelism. Acts chapter 5, there were mass miracles, so much in Jerusalem that they weren't even laying hands on people. They're just kicking grandma out to the street. Right? They're kicking her out because what? Peter's coming. Peter's coming. His shadow's healing people. Kick her out to the street. Get grandma healed. Amen? And so this mass miracle's taking place. Acts chapter 6, abundance and prosperity. Acts chapter 7, mass evangelism. Acts chapter 8, signs and wonders and miracles. Acts chapter 9, the other half of the New Testament gets written. And Acts chapter 10 is why you and I are here today, because it went from Jerusalem to the world. Right. Everybody say full. Full of the Holy Ghost, the book of Acts, the church of Acts was. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. Let's say it. We need the Holy Ghost. It's a baptism of power. It's a baptism that will change your life. It's not something that this leadership is recommending, like Colgate toothpaste. 4 out of 5 will not be happy. It is an all kind of thing. We recommend it because you will be satisfied with the Holy Ghost. It's the promise of the Father. And the book of Acts, they didn't just get filled one time. They stayed full. They had a continuous overflow, infilling of the Holy Ghost. You were up here last Sunday, get up here again this Sunday. There's a continual overflow, access to a fountain that never runs dry. It guides us. It directs us. It protects us. Acts chapter 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Brent, just you, if it's okay, if you would just make your way up to the piano, please. Power comes on the church when the Holy Ghost comes. The Amplified says this: when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it makes you capable. We can't do it by ourselves. Every stronghold, every insecurity, everything that's told you you're not good enough, I have all those insecurities too. Those things don't matter because it's not about you. I want to help break something off the church this morning. If you like to come and just get a high of the Holy Ghost, you like the feeling and the goosebumps, you've missed the message of the Holy Spirit. You don't receive the Holy Spirit in order to experience Him. You experience the Holy Spirit so you can represent Him. You don't just get to feel the Holy Spirit, you get to let Him transform you. We aren't just a funnel where we get bombarded with all these great feelings and all this stuff. We're a funnel so that the Holy Spirit can flow through us. If you're just desperate for a touch of God because you just want another touch of God so you can be a rock star, I think Jensen Franklin said, today's strutting peacocks become tomorrow's feather dusters. I don't have to go anywhere without the Holy Ghost. When Jesus went to the tomb, He did not go to the tomb alone. The tomb where Jesus was raised from the dead, the same Spirit that raised Him in the tomb is the same Spirit that lives in us. There was death in that tomb, but there was also something else in that tomb. It was a Spirit of the Almighty God. If the Holy Spirit can raise Christ from the dead, He can raise you out of dead things. The Holy Ghost isn't Pentecostal. He doesn't just move because we're a Pentecostal church. The Holy Spirit will sweep wherever there is a hungry heart. The Holy Spirit will sweep wherever he is celebrated. Everyone, would you just say this? Precious Holy Spirit. Precious. Mary was open to the Holy Spirit. Her response was beautiful. It was literally this: be it unto me. Fully surrender. Had lots of questions. I have a lot of questions sometimes. But be it unto me, Lord. I surrender. I surrender. I'm thankful that the church has begun to take the Holy Ghost out of the back room and put him at the altar where he belongs. This thing was born in the fire and ashes will not do. Do you hear me, church? If you're banking that the Holy Ghost is going to move like he moved years ago in your life, it's not going to be burned. It's not going to start from the ashes. It's going to be fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. It was birthed in the fire, and that's what the church needs today. They need an Acts chapter 2 experience. Otherwise, how will our children know where to go and what to follow if the church isn't walking it out authentically? Amen? How the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, other things can't get in, like depression, sin, addiction, fear. Yeah, you might feel it on the top, but man, when you're full to the brim, that stuff just comes off of you. I have felt that, man. I have felt that this has been a battle this week to get here. I'm just telling you. I feel it. Like, I feel those things, but I'm like, God, I'm going to try to be full. Full to the brim. You want people to get the overflow? Get full, because then, man, that overflow just flows out. Amen? If you got depression in there, that's because you're full of it instead of the Holy Ghost. Get full of the Holy Ghost so you won't be full of other things. Amen? Someone needs to hear that today. Freedom in the house. The poet Mary Oliver once said, attention is the beginning of devotion. The starting place of devotion to God is simply to set our attention on the Spirit. Stop focusing on what's wrong and focus on the Holy Ghost. Intimacy. You're just talking to the Holy Spirit. You want to move mountains? You want to move this world? Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Would you stand to your feet this morning for me, please? Would you just raise your hands as a sign of surrender? They're going to turn the lights down. We're going to have an altar call here in a moment. I feel the Holy Ghost in the place. Would you just repeat after me? Holy Spirit, we love you. We invite you to overshadow us. We're aware of you. We surrender. You know, when Mary said how, it's really beautiful in Luke, the angel said this. This is the last thing the angel said to her. Luke chapter 1, verse 7. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You might have questions about what is happening in your life or where this nation is going or how is your family going to be okay. Or how is your marriage going to be amended? How are you going to break free from addiction? The Holy Spirit says, I'm here today, and you need to run to the altar. Those of you that haven't graced the altar in a long time, it's time. Amen. Get rid of the religious mindsets and let the Holy Spirit free you today. There should be such freedom in the house. If we all have to lay at the altar, let's lay at the altar. Amen. I'm going to begin to pray, and as you feel the Holy Spirit begin to work on your heart, I want you just to come. I've asked John and Shirley Helma to lay hands on people, and Pastor Harris and I are going to lay hands on people. Do not be surprised if things begin to happen up at the altar today. I just want to tell you that right now. Demonic things do not like when the people of God get set free. Amen. There has to be freedom in the house. Amen. We don't want to carry the baggage we walked in with. Amen. We want to lay it down. We want to lay it down. We want to lay it down. First off, before I even go any further, maybe you walked in here and you don't even know Jesus. That's okay. He came to meet with you today. If you're in here and you have just never, ever, ever given your heart to the Lord, Jesus wants to meet with you today. If you just feel that in your spirit and you say, I don't know you, Jesus, but I want to meet you today. Would you come up to the front right now? You just want to meet Jesus. Amen. This doesn't have to be really like drawn out or anything. You just be bold about it. Come up to the front. We're going to celebrate. If not, that's okay. When I do the altar call, you come on up. You just come up and meet with Jesus. Amen. Awesome. I believe when I think of the children downstairs, I believe this is going to be happening in our children and our teenagers. Major salvations as children feel led to come to the altar. I'm going to begin to pray, and you, sometimes the Holy Ghost, you'll feel fire, heat. Anybody in the room already feeling heat a little bit? I feel it. And so you begin to feel the heat, and so you begin to be surrender to that, come up when you feel it. But I'm just going to start to pray, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to move freely in the house, and we're just going to have a time of surrender. Brent's going to sing some songs, and I want you just to listen to the Holy Spirit, begin to talk to the Holy Spirit, and surrender those things that you don't need to control anymore. Amen. As I pray, just come. Lord, I thank you for this time, God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you use me in spite of me, God. I thank you that this church is desperate and hungry for you right now. I pray, Lord, I pray for people that need to learn to trust you, God, more. If this is you, I just pray that you just come up and you surrender that trust to the Lord right now. I pray for trust, God, and faith in this house. The faith would be so tangible in this house, Lord, that people on the outside would feel your presence when they speak to believers, God. I pray right now against any demonic force that would be depression, Lord, that is trying to keep people stagnant. We pray against depression. We pray against insecurity. We pray against anxiety in the house right now. Lord, I pray that you would begin to fill them up. Fill them up in the Holy Ghost. Fill them up in the Holy Ghost. Fill them up in the Holy Ghost. God, that you would just get rid of those things that don't look like you. I pray for peace in the house. If you're someone who's been dealing with a lack of peace, the Holy Spirit wants to deal with that today. God, we begin to surrender, Lord, control to you, Lord, control to you. I pray against religious mindsets. If you've been sitting in this house longer than 6 months and you haven't come up to the altar to get a new infilling of the Holy Ghost and let old things break off of you, I pray that you come right now to the altar, Lord. I pray right now that there would be old mindsets gone. I pray for fresh fire, fresh renewal, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. If you have bondage in this room and you need to break free right now, and you know the Holy Spirit is asking you to come, he's asking you to come because bondage has to go. Come, come to the altar. If you're dealing with resentment and anger, I pray that you come and let the Holy Ghost touch you right now. Yes, Holy Ghost, you are welcome in this place, Holy Ghost. Yes, you are welcome in this place. Yes, Holy Ghost. If you've just had a judgmental heart, we've all been there, amen, and you just want the Holy Ghost to move in your life, come, come, let God soften that heart. If you want a fresh fire from the Holy Ghost, I feel it. I mean, it's hot up here. Come and meet with the Holy Ghost. Surrender, 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 surrender. Surrender, 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 surrender. New fire, Lord, new fire, new fire, Lord, new fire, new fire. If we can't meet with Jesus, we don't want any of it. Thank you. Jesus. New fire, new fire, new fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brent, just begin to minister. We'll begin to minister.